word, I'm going to confirm this word in your heart individually. And then you're going to see some things. What those signs are in your life might be completely different, but he will make himself known. And what I've been all through worship, I'm just going to read, you know, well, we all know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish or die, but have everlasting life. This is what God is trying to get across to us. This isn't a time where he's trying to make our lives just a rose petal path. It's not a time where he's trying to fulfill every desire that man or woman's heart has ever had. It's a time that he's trying to bring us into a relationship with himself. God loves us that much that he gave his son to try to prove that. What more could be proved in that? So God's desire is that relationship. How do we develop that relationship? It's in his word. This is the way we meet God. Remember the scripture that said that, you know, in old times, God used to speak to us through prophets and everything else, but now he speaks through his son, Jesus. How does he do that? He does it by the written word, which we're going to get into today and show how. What's a word that, you know, besides wonderful, how this word is so crucial in each and every one of our lives so that we might touch one more person out there before we go, whether we go naturally or the Lord does come and take his church like he's promised, that we can touch one more person. We don't save them. We just lead them to the path. We're just a bunch of beggars who have found some bread and all I'm doing is saying, you know, here it is, man, take a look. That's all we can do. God does the rest of it. So he's told us that he loves us. If you've got your Bibles in your hand from John 3:16, which we didn't turn to, we should know that. That should be something in our heads and our hearts that would bring question every day. Does God really love me that much? Does God really love me that much? And the answer is yes. Turn to Acts 17, if you would. I feel that God, through his word, is going to show those of us who have ears to hear that he's connecting the dots, if you would. Do you ever take a trip and you, like Pat is, she's the navigator when we go places. She holds the atlas. And before we leave, though, we put little yellow dots on some, you know, little mileage dots or where we're going to be going. I think God is correcting each and every one of us on that path that we're on. He's saying, connect these dots. Watch where they're going, these here. The ones that we see out there, they're leading us to his house. Now, we need to handle it properly because one year we were trying to find a spot in New Mexico and Pat kept telling me, you gotta go right. And I could see it on the left, but she had the map upside down that year. And I'm trying to drive in this traffic in Santa Fe looking like this. And it was like, well, wait, the map is upside down. And she went, oh yeah, make a left over here. The word of God is easy. And God wants us in it. And in Acts, if you're there, Acts 17, verse 30 says, and the times of this ignorance. You know, a lot of us have been, since we were born, we're in relationship with Christ. But do we really understand the power of his word? And the purpose of that word, and how close his timing really is in our lives. You know, well, I don't really believe in the rapture. Okay, but if you believe in Christ, each one of us are going to stand before him. I've known a man, and some of you have too, that just passed away this week, Tom Stipe. He was the first pastor that I, besides Richie Fiore, that I sat under. No rapture, but Tom's in the presence of the Lord. You know, which one of us are next in a sense? We don't know. So I think it's time, like I said, start connecting the dots. And God is trying to bring us closer to himself in this time. And he's trying to bring us closer to that eternal destiny called heaven. So of these times, it says in verse 30, of this ignorance when we really didn't know any better. And now if we're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have no excuse. Okay, if we've heard it, there will be no excuse. Understand it. God didn't ask us to understand everything. He just said, believe it. And as we believe it and walk in it, we're going to see things start to unfurl. So these times of ignorance, God winked at it, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, and that's Jesus Christ, whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. This is the time that we're in. It's not a time to fool around anymore. You know, and does that mean that we got to turn into monks because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ? No, he came to give us life and life more abundantly. There's a lot of fun to be have in this world. There's a lot of heartache in it too. But God is going to walk us through those things. He's promised us that. But it's time now is what I keep feeling. And these were the scriptures that came into my heart and my head during worship. Romans 13 will be the last one to preface today's sermon. If you turn to Romans 13, if you feel up to that. The Holy Spirit is saying, and that knowing the time. What time is it? How many times do people ask us that, right? What time is it? Pat asked me every morning when I get up to let Polly out, and I told her the other day, buy a clock, and then you won't have to ask, you know? What time is it? It might be 1:30, right? It might be 4:30. The other day, she didn't even wake us up, and we woke up, and it was, what time is it? It's 6:30. Time is something that's pretty crucial to most of us. We operate within it. Our schedules, our lives, our medications, our rituals. But the time that the Holy Spirit is speaking of is the shortness, I feel, the quickness of the Lord's return, and that knowing the time that now, not tomorrow. So if you're not in relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not pointing a judgmental finger. All I'm saying is that the time is now. I'm not saying it. God is saying it because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And this, you know, this isn't like, oh, you know, you're talking so I'm getting bummed out. We're all going out of this place one way or the other. So the time is now to start to consider that. And if you're listening, you know, over the magic boom box that you're watching, It's for you too. It's time now. We've had a lot of time in our lives, but now it's time to get serious with the Lord because he's going to come back. He's returning. And it's high time to awake out of a sleep, he says in verse 11. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. What day? Either our demise and our going to be with the Lord or be separated from the Lord, or that day he's going to come back for his church. We should be ready knowing this. So he tells us, cast off the works of darkness in 12. Put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, or that means decently, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. And I love how he puts that in there. He feels, the Holy Spirit felt that strife and envy was as bad as all that other stuff he put first. Well, I don't drink. Oh, I don't covet. Oh, I don't walk around and you know, no. He's saying, okay, well, how about strife and envy? If that's in our lives, it's time to get rid of that, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, 14, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who will give us, you'll open our understanding if we just ask, Father. If we just ask, show me, teach me, help me, Father, to believe. So today as we enter your word, Father, show us how important this is, how those dots are leading right to your throne, Father. How it's time right now that we hold your word above everything. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, if you'd be turning there. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. We left off last week in verse 10, but that whole section, you know, scripture is not to be, and we're going to see that, just one at a time, the ones we like. We take it in context. And the early believers, you know, there was a solo scriptura, scripture, solely scripture. It interprets itself. It broadens. It's almost like you ever look through the peephole of a door, and you know, everything looks kind of, the person standing there has that like face, and But if you open that door, doesn't everything become a whole lot clearer than it was through that little peephole? And that's what I feel this third chapter that we've been in Timothy, at least for me, it has been opening my, at least my vision of what is really going on around us and how important God's word is in my life. I can't make you go to the word. I can't show you the beauty, in a sense, of that. It's almost like showing a picture of, I won't use Maui, okay, because they would be annoyed at how much fun and beauty we had there. They want to turn around and see who I'm talking to. But it's almost like showing a picture of the Grand Canyon. You were there, right? My gosh, look at that, look at that. And you take out your little cardboard box camera, you know, and you take that picture. But I try to show you, look at this. Look at the depth. Look at the beauty. Look at the colors. It's, and most people go, yeah, that's all right. I've seen that before. Let us not treat the word like that. And all I'm trying to do is just show what God's been doing, but you've got to go there for yourself. Don't depend on TV or the radio or Doug. We need to get into this word in the time that we're in more than we ever have. And if it's only just one scripture a day, I, you know, that's not great, but it's better than nothing. Get into the word. I guarantee if you start and something grabs a hold of you and all of a sudden you ask, just open my heart, you'll come out of the room an hour later. Like, wow, what happened there? You get engrossed in this. You get caught up. So anyhow, that's where we've been. I better get started, amen. We left off in verse 10 last week. And the key points in there, if we just run over them again this week, and I'd ask you meditate on it. Verse 10, remember, you know, you've fully known my life. Well, what Paul was instructing Timothy, and what the Holy Spirit is trying to instruct us, is people are watching your life. People are watching my life. They're trying to see if this Christianity, if this belief in God that we say we have, they're trying to see, is it real? Do they do as I say, not as I do? Do they hear me saying one thing, but yet living another way? People are watching us, especially people within our family. In verse 11, Paul was talking about persecutions and afflictions. He was telling us these things are going to come into your life. Why are we so surprised? They're not fun. They're not good. But God has told us these things are given to us. They're actually appointed to us, if you would. God's not doing it, but he's utilizing it, trying to get us closer, trying to let us see what truly remains. Verse 12 was telling us that all that will try to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It is coming. It's appointed to us. You could look that up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. It's appointed. It's like a day on God's calendar that these things are going to come into our life. So what do? Well, I force myself at those times into God's word to try to hear what my Lord and my Savior and the one who loves me more than anyone is trying to tell me, teach me, walk me through. The importance of God's word is what He's been driving home. Verse 13, when's this all going to stop? Anybody ever say that? When's all my trouble? When? It's not going to. He just said in 13, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. So to expect that this beautiful time is on its way is not scriptural. 14, don't run out today is what verse 14, continue in the things that you've heard. Continue in what you've learned. We don't need to run out and try to get a doctorate in theology tomorrow. Just what have I learned so far? What did we learn this morning? God loves me, doesn't he? John 3:16. God wants me to come into a relationship that's repentance with him from my old life. And he wants me, in my grogginess, if I would, wake up out of the sleep. Everyone is going to wake up different. I don't know, some people, you can shake people and shake them and grab them by the toe and twist it when they're sleeping and they don't wake up. I wish I could sleep like that. I hear at night at the ranch through the window, and we're up. wake up, though. So each one of us have to wake up in that way that is possible for each and every one of our lives. So it brings us to today's section, which I feel Paul in 15 through 17 was trying to tell Timothy, the power and the purpose of the scriptures, God's word in each and every believer's life. So let's just look at that 15. And I'd encourage you, go back this week, start in verse 3 again and read those things and see if you can connect the dots as compared to what we feel is happening out there. But 15, it says, "And that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." All scripture. And I think every translation that you have says that. Not just some of it. Oh, you know, and we'll get to that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Father God, help us to understand what it is you're speaking to us. In Jesus' name. So as we look at that verse 15, it says that from a child you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Not that we get, oh yeah, this is it. It's just a continual process that the Lord is saying to us, if we get into this word, our salvation, we're going to get wiser and wiser, smarter, understanding more and more. See, our salvation, and I think I said this last week, our salvation, like everything else, is in three tenses. We are saved, period. We've been saved back from the foundations of the world when Christ has that in his mind. My salvation is set because of him. I'm being saved every day. It's an ongoing process in my sanctification and whatnot. God is saving me as I read, wow, is that really what you mean? And one day I'll be fully saved. So what Paul is saying to Timothy, continue in these scriptures because they can make you wise in that process of our salvation, day by day, getting a little bit more mature. When we see perfect, it's not perfect as we understand it. It's not a Barbie and Ken doll that one day that's what we're going to look like, you know, physically. He's saying you're going to be mature. You're going to grow into this. Exactly what I have planned for you. So as we look at that, just that in itself. There's not many of us with children, little children right now, but there are many of us in here that have children that are now adults with their own children. And that one scripture there, I think, is an admonition to us as parents, whether they're young or they're in their teens or 30s, get speaking the word of God to our children. Get that word. Nobody else is going to do it. The colleges aren't going to do it. The news certainly isn't going to do it. The morals behind most of our movies and TV are not going to do it. Who does that leave it up to? Well, Doug, of course, right? That's why I make the big bucks. Come over and speak to my child. Come over and correct them. Come over. No. God is telling us as parents, no matter what age our children, get them into the scriptures now. Most of us remember Proverbs when we look at that 15. Proverbs 22:6. You can either scratch it, look it up, whatever. Train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when they're old, they won't depart. What is it? There's argument about that. You know, well, that means that if your son is, and this is in no means, you know, a degradation, if he's a cash register person, if he is a mechanic, if he is a computer operator, train the child up as you see these things in his life. Let him go that way. Don't try to make him an astronaut. Don't try to make him a brain surgeon if God has. And that, you know, that means that. But I feel for us parents, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart. When we put the knowledge of the Lord into a child's heart, all those years, there's going to come a time in there that maybe they will wander, maybe they will walk away, but they always will have a bellwether that they can come back to and realize, that's what I've heard all my life, that's what I know is true, and that's the way I'm going to walk. That's a promise from God, not just me. So when we look at that, how important are the scriptures? That's where I started this week, looking at it again. Well, Lord, you know, do we really understand the power and the purpose and the importance of the scriptures in each one of our lives, corporately as a church, personally as individuals? Well, 16, I think, opens that door for us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Theopneumos, it's a Greek word that means it's God breathed. God spoke these words. Oh, do you really believe that? You know, a bunch of people wrote this. No. We're going to find out that God spoke this. He didn't make them robots. He used them with their own personalities, their own sights on things. But he told them what to say. It wasn't like they made this up. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, or woman, that the word there includes both, might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The purpose of God's scripture is to save us, number one, to keep us within that salvation as we're awaiting to go home, and then to get out there with each one of our own personal gifts and talents to good works. It's time for Dobie Gillis, isn't it? Works. Work. Remember, you know, Maynard G. Krebs. He hated that word, work. We don't like that as Christians. The work is to just show somebody that you don't have to live like this anymore. You don't have to die eternally. You could be for eternity with the one who loves you and the ones who have loved us all these years. That's the good works. Oh, maybe going out and buying some groceries for somebody who can't go. Maybe fixing a roof. Maybe helping dig a hole or whatever. These are all good works that God has prepared for each and every one of us. What's your thought on that as you meditate on that? All scripture is given by God. Every word of it. I think it should be a basic tenet of our faith. This should be in each one of our hearts. We have to reconcile this. Is every word in here the word of God? Or is it something that's made up, just like Shakespeare? Oh, he was inspired, wasn't he? I don't know. He was intelligent, possibly, but this is God speaking words to his children. It doesn't get any better, but I have to reconcile that. Do I really believe it? And I'd leave that with you. Do you really believe it? Put something in there. Let's turn to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, to go along with it being the inspired word of God as we open these Bibles that we have, I think that's an understanding that we have to realize. This isn't just James Michener. Who do we like, Jerry? I'm having the cowboy guy that does all the novels. Yeah, Louis L'Amour. This isn't a Louis L'Amour novel. This is God sending me a love letter, talking to Doug Gibney. This is what I've got prepared for you. This is how it all started, Dougie. This is how it's all going to end. And you're right there in between. So what happens in 19 is Peter is backing up, if you would, that same statement that we heard from Paul, which is coming from the Spirit. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Take heed to the things that we're hearing, is what he's saying, as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, verse 20, before anything else. Remember, we were just told, know the time. But know this also, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. That means I can't, well, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we're going to die. Let's go home today, watch the Broncos, eat till we can't even eat anymore, and consume some beverage. That's not what the word says. It means it's not of any private interpretation. You can't take one scripture and make your whole doctrine, your whole belief. We have to take all of them. Some of them have 100 other scriptures that expand that or open it up. It's not up to me, and it's not up to just an individual scripture. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Remember, this isn't just something that's made up. The Holy Spirit took Paul. He took John. He took Peter. He took, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. This is where some people, and maybe it's like, oh boy, I'm out of here. You know, but you believe in UFOs and aliens and all this other stuff. God spoke to people. And I think some of us, in our times, in our afflictions, in the things we're going through, we've heard God. I know you know it. You might not have heard it here with the hearing of the ear, but you've seen something that speaks to you. You feel something in here that you know it's God. I know for a fact that it isn't the devil, it isn't old bug face telling me you're going to be with D someday. What I hear him saying is, that's a bunch of bull. You really believe that? Do you think that word is true? Well, when I hear the word that one day we're going to be reunited with our daughter, with my brother, with my mom, with my dad, with your loved ones that have passed, you think that's the enemy of your soul speaking that? That's God bringing reassurance into us. And the only way that that will become real is if we get into this word. Remember, it's the word that we're... Man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How important, I better get rolling, how important is the word of God? How prevalent is the word of God in my life? Now there's the question. Within the church, it's one thing. There's a lot of individuals that have Bible study routines, they have reading routines, all their day is just repeating God's word. Some text them to us, whole scriptures. At first I thought, Diane, wow, she's getting pretty eloquent. And then all of a sudden Pat goes, Doug, it's a scripture. And I was like, oh, really? The word of God, how powerful is it in your life and mine? How prevalent, meaning how often do we get into this? So I looked up this stat. 88% of Americans own a Bible. Wow, you'd say, boy, that's pretty cool. 88% of Americans owning a Bible. 80% of, and this is only out of 4,000, I forget who, it was Lifeway, probably one of those telephone things that you hang up on, you know, and I hang up on. 4,000 people that they reviewed. 80% of those Americans think that it is actually the sacred or inspired word of God. 61%, now we're starting to drop down a little bit, 61% wish that they read the Bible more. Why? Don't we wish we had some things in our life, but boy, we go after it and make sure that we're going to get it. I want it. I need it. I'm going to have it. And we move heaven and hell to get to that one thing that we want so bad. And then we put it on a shelf or hang it on a wall or... 61% wish that they read more, and I do too. They admitted that they only read the Bible 1 to 4 times per week, one of those being at church. So can you imagine that one person who the only time the Word of God is opened is Sunday morning at the Bible study in their church, or when the pastor is talking? That's the only time they open it, but never see the other riches and gems and depths that are in here, because I put it away until the next time. And then some play Bible roulette and look up a word, or we're writing a card, and what's that scripture that everybody likes? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. Where is that? We need to read this as if it was a love letter from our Father as often as we possibly can. So, 4.4, and I was wondering what was the point four? 4.4 Bibles are within the American household. How many people have more than one Bible? I will not ask how many of you read it more than 4 times a week. 4.4 Bibles in every house. Why isn't the world any different? Why aren't I any different? And I think it's because 16 and 17, let's go back there, and I will end in Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Kind of covers everything we need in our lives, doesn't it? Remember what I put it? Doctrine, doctrine. It's what is right. Reproof is what is not right. Correction is how to get right. And instruction is how to stay right. That came from J. Vernon McGee. Boy, could you just hear him? Doctrine isn't something that's hard or confusing. It's what's right. It's how to stay right. What's not right, how to get right. You know, I mean, that simple, that beautiful. But yet we let it go. And I found this statement from J. Vernon. It says, the ultimate importance and purpose of God's word is not only for salvation. You go like that first, right? Not only doctrine. Not how to defend the truth and the faith against someone, which are all very important, he put down, but to equip, thoroughly furnished every believer to go out on God's field, prepared, equipped, and furnished to help others. It's the whole point and purpose of Scripture, isn't it? Make me wise unto salvation. Get me prepared, you prepared to go out there and help one more person. Oh, but I don't know. What does the Word of God say? It says to comfort those who are in need of comfort with the same comfort that you've been comforted wherewith by God. So what have you been through? Remember the afflictions that we read before? They have a purpose. It's so I can go out there and put my arms around somebody, or like I just got a book from Ed Taylor who lost his son. Ed could put his arms around me and say, I know. He doesn't know the depth of what we've been through, but he knows. I might not know what you're going through. I can kind of get an idea, but God is trying through his word to prepare each one of us to go out there and help one more person find their way to the light through this darkness that exists out there. Thoroughly furnished. Can I have three more minutes before three? Maybe, who can I do that? Tommy, you hand those out, one, maybe one to each couple, or if you're alone, you only get a half. One to each couple. The importance of God's word, and this might be a little bit too strange for everybody, but I'd have you turn to Psalm 119. You know, way back when they told us we couldn't meet anymore, I had asked, as a body of Christ, that we might start reading the Psalms one a day for however long it would take. And I know that there are some of you that are still, you're on your second trip through the Psalms right now. This might be a little bit too much for some of us, and if it is, well then just read something else. But God was showing me, I felt the other night, a beautiful way of getting his word and the necessity of it into my life. As you're going to see here, the Psalm 119, one of the longest psalms, and some of us probably put it down before we get to the end of it, it's broken up into 22 sections, each one being represented by the Hebrew alphabet. Now, if you want to know more about that, ask Lauren and Peter. I am no way. All I know is latkes and potato pancakes and, you know, I'm trying my best to understand the Hebrew alphabet. I was looking up what Aleph is, and you know, all the, it's like ours. But anyway, 22 sections, and they're broken up for you right there. And like just 1 through 8 shows the blessedness of obeying the word. So I would ask this, that if you're inclined to do it, it says, Jerry, isn't it 28 days on average, Susie, to make or break a habit? What's my reading habit on God's word? Is it one time a week, four times? I can increase it. And this is only 8 verses. So if every day I took one of these sections within the next 22 days or the next, you know, whatever it might take us, maybe there'd be a new habit created in my life. And I would think that as we read this week, the blessedness of obeying God's word, that we would make this not only a personal God. Are you in 119? Yeah. Blessed are the undefiled or sincere in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep the precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I'll praise thee with an uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. What did that just take? A minute maybe. But now take that, make that a personal prayer when we're in that section, each one of them a personal prayer, a personal request maybe in my life. Lord, open my understanding. A personal study. How can we do that? Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Want a different understanding? Turn to Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord. Wow, now he's a blessing. When I walk in his laws, when I walk in his ways, blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in his ways. You'll eat the labor of your hands. Happy you will be. It shall be well with you. Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, or children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. The Lord will bless thee out of Zion, and you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. So do you see how God's word is like opening up now? Just, you can blow through 8 verses, but stop and say, give me a cross-reference, God, on verse 1 this week. Give me a cross-reference on verse 2. If I keep his testimonies, there's a promise there? Yes, there is. And I think the more we do this throughout the month with this as our outline, I think God's going to have a way again, as we started, connecting some dots, not only in the world scene, but in my life. And the best thing that could happen is I'm in God's word. It's right there ready at my heart to come out my mouth when these things happen. The best way to get the Bible into me is for me to get into the Bible. You can listen to me on Sunday, and I'm sure some of you are tired of that. Some not. I say that jokingly to a degree. But the only way for this Bible to get into me and to change me and to be my daily bread is that I get into it. There's nothing else stopping me. Get those extra Bibles that you have, wherever they might be. Put them on a coffee table. Put them on the breakfast table. Put it somewhere where it's going to be staring you in the face and just listen to God calling you. Give me a minute. Give me a minute. So, Father God, thank you for what you're about to do in our lives this coming month, Father, as we get into that psalm and see that your word is the way that we cleanse our lives, the ways that blessings come in, the way our love increases one to another, the way that we have hope when there is no hope, that we can have light, Father, to our paths when we feel like we're in such darkness and lack of understanding. So show us the wonders in your word in this month to come. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're going to go to the Lord's table. And are we singing first? Seth is. Come on, Seth, lead us in that. And Craig, if you would. Oh, boy. That's the way to get a guy with bifocals messed up.